Job chapter 1, let's keep going here where we left off last time. Job chapter 1, now on to the important stuff, the Word of God. Verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Put forth now thine hand and touch all that he hath, and he'll curse thee to thy face. The Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now, we've already been looking here at this thing and have been showing you, first of all, we've looked into pretty extensively this thing about the sons of God. And we've looked at it from the standpoint of humans and how God originally created Adam in his own image and in his own likeness, right? And then after that, the Bible shows you that man, Adam, brought forth his children in his own image. So what your children are is not creation, but procreation. Creation is creating something from nothing. God said, let there be. Boom, there it is. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, how is that? He just did it. From what? From nothing. You need to understand that the devil can create something from something. He can transform a thing. We'll see that here in a minute. But he can't just create something from nothing. You see that when Moses goes in there before Pharaoh, all the magicians could copycat a lot of the things that Moses did, but when it came to just creating something from nothing, the magicians can't do that. So it doesn't really mean much when a man can take another man and he can take his DNA and he can mess around with them and make a test tube baby, or they can mess around with flesh. That isn't anything new to take something and make something from something. But to make something from nothing, that's the work of God. That's the hand of God. God created this whole thing in the beginning. God created the heaven and the earth. Boom, just like that. Now, when you see the rest of Genesis 1, you're seeing God divide waters from waters, right? What are you seeing? You're actually seeing there in the book of Genesis the second creation. When God first made the thing, he made it perfect. In the beginning, God created, and the King James Bible says the heaven and the earth. The new Bibles say heavens and the earth, Genesis 1. They mess it up right out of the gate. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It was a perfect place. God put Lucifer over the original creation, over the first earth, as the anointed cherub that covereth. He walked up and down in the midst of it. We read that in last week. That's over there. You can go back and look later at Isaiah and Ezekiel, and you'll see a little more about Lucifer over there. He was perfect the day God created him. What happened? Well, he's looking around at his perfection, he's looking around at his wisdom and at all that he has, and there's one being in all of the universe that was higher than him. He was number two. He was second place. He didn't get gold, he was getting silver. And it aggravated the fire out of him that he wasn't the champ, but the other guy was. And in his own mind, he said, I will be like the Most High. There's five I wills of Lucifer if you go over there and you read that story. Five being the number of death in your Bible. Interestingly enough, if you go over and study Revelation, you'll find there's a fivefold fall of Satan. God slowly but surely pressures him down, 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 down. That's why in the tribulation period when he's cast out of heaven, he comes down here to the earth and is full of anger and full of wrath. He's foaming out his anger and this earth and letting loose because he knows his time is short. His power is ebbing. It's going away. Now, wait a minute. Lucifer is the second most powerful being in all of the universe. Don't you stinking forget it. Give me a devil my size and I'll whoop him. You're an idiot. You shouldn't talk like that. You're an idiot. They don't come your size. They can come smaller than a gnat. Legion, for we are many in one man. And they can come as giants. Don't talk like that about the devil. Don't challenge Lucifer. It just makes me cringe every time a new Christian full of zeal comes in and says, I'll never go back there. You better wait. You better throttle it back just a little bit. I don't think you jinx yourself. I'm not saying that. I'm saying remember what you alone are capable of without the devil. Number two, remember that your adversary walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There are things going on that you can't see. There are things going on that you don't know. There is an entire universe, excuse me for the word, dimension out there that you have never tuned into, but is fully tuned into you. If Lucifer's had 6,000 years to watch mankind since Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, where do you find the word form or void showing up and darkness showing up when God creates something? God created in Genesis 1, 1, and it was destroyed by the time you get to 1, 2. Because when Lucifer said, I'll be like the Most High, God looks down there and just says, whop, and just stomps him straight down, sinks that whole thing. That's 1 Peter, 2 Peter, the earth that then was, standing in the water and out of the water. They say that's Noah's flood. They need to read a little bit more. It was floating, the original creation, Genesis 1:1, was floating in the water like a bobber would float when you go fishing. And what did God do? He sunk that thing. And he said, in Job, we're going to get there. Hitherto shall thy proud waves be stayed. He blocked it out. Genesis chapter 1, God divides the waters from the waters. You know what he did? The earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. God divides the water from the waters. And now the earth is sitting out there, not floating anymore like it was before. So, Lucifer's down here, he's roaming on the earth. This was originally Lucifer's creation. What does God do when he recreates it? He makes man out of the dust of the earth, right? Breathes into his nostrils the breath of life and man becomes a living soul. Now he was the second king over the earth. The first king was Lucifer. You know who the second king was? Adam. You know what Lucifer said? I can't have this throne, but I can have this earth. And he started that, he kicked that whole thing off by, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That's your new Bibles. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, he kicked that whole thing off by, yea, hath God said. And her flesh ran with it from there. And then she saw the tree was pleasant to the eyes, the fruit was good, make one wise. What was his presentation to her? Ye shall be as... Huh? Ye shall be as gods? With a small g, knowing good and evil. That's a weird thing for him to say. And she knew what he was talking about. Here's the problem. The problem is when people read their Bibles, they run to preconceived notions. Like when I say the word baptize, you automatically think of a baptismal pool. We don't have one in here. If it's downstairs, we put it out on the front lawn and we use it because we believe in it. But when I say the word baptize, you don't think of the Spirit of God baptizing you into Christ. You don't think of Moses. You immediately think water. When I say the word saved, you immediately think your soul's salvation from a devil's hell for eternity. Not every time in your Bible the word saved shows up. Is it talking about the salvation of your souls? Nevertheless, you shall be saved in childbearing. So the more kids you have, the more saved you are, I guess. I mean, I don't know. In some circles, I think that's what they believe. But what is all that? That's not talking about salvation of the soul. Right? The foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. They're already saved. Preaching will save your life from catastrophe. It's not always talking about your soul. So here's the catch. People see sons of God, and they automatically run right to save people.
And all the Bible correctors, and it aggravates me when Bible believers fall for this line, because it's really a Bible corrector line. Well, the sons of God are the godly line of Seth, and the daughters of men are the ungodly line of Cain. Well, what is a son of God? So, going back to what we've already discussed, all men are not children of God. We're not all the family of God. You become a son of God, John chapter 1, verse 12. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You are not a son of God until you become a direct creation of God. Before that, you were procreated, born of the will of the flesh, the will of man, born of blood. You were born human by the will of your parents as procreation. Let me ask you a question. Is that a miracle? Duh. Oh man, it is. Does a lost person, a baby, when they're born and they breathe, do they get life from God? Yeah. Are they a son of God? Well, not if you go by a strictest Bible definition of what the word of son of God is. See, the problem is when we can't fit everything into our little tiny, tiny, minute craniums. I'll say that again. Because some people think they're smarter than they are. I don't give a flip what your IQ is. Sorry for my little extra adjectives tonight. I'm just in that mood, man. I don't care what your IQ is. It doesn't impress me. I really don't care. Your little minute, tiny little cranium cannot possibly comprehend the God of the universe. There's a lot going on that you and I can't see. So some of these things, folks, you just have to accept by faith because God said them. If he recalls his spirit, every living thing dies. My dog would die without God. But my dog ain't born again. He ain't a son of God. He doesn't have the spirit of God dwelling in him. He has the breath from God, life from God. You got to understand that. Every time you run into this, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that does not necessarily mean that they're born again children of God. Now there's a day, verse 6, when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Well, there it is. See, they're the sons of God. They're coming to a worship service. And Satan came also among them. Is he coming to worship? Can I ask you a question? Is it possible for Satan to walk into a worship service? Oh, you better believe it, brother. So my final argument is not that Satan was there. That's not the argument for why these sons of God are fallen angels. I'll show you what I really do believe they are. Go to Psalm 21 and give me a few minutes to set this up. Psalm 21. I want you to see something here. Psalm 21, we're going to read just a little bit. And I'll make fast comments as I read, okay? Psalm 21. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, verse 1, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips, Selah. Verse 3, for thou preventest him, went before him, with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty are laid upon him, for thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceedingly glad with thy countenance. For the king trusted in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thy wrath. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and fire shall devour them. Their fruit that shalt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. For they intended evil against thee. They imagined mischievous devices. You guys remember the Proverbs series? The mischievous man? Which they were not able to perform. Now don't forget that. Therefore shalt thou make them turn their back when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon thy strings against the face of them. Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own power. So will we sing and praise thy power. You know who's talking right there? I realize, look, I get, you know, it's a Psalm of David. That thing's talking about Jesus Christ. Watch chapter 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring?
Oh my God, he's not cursing, folks, like we talked about on Sunday afternoon. I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. In the night season, and not silent. You know what Christ was well acquainted with? And prayer. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm. That's a weird statement. And no man, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. That's a weird statement, bro. You ever see the old school insignia for a medical doctor? You know, the barbers? Serpent on a pole? A worm? There's a whole lot more going on than what might meet the eye. And no man, verse 6, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. Well, that's the Lord. They despised him. They spat on him. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Did Jesus know the Father as an infant? Well, there's the closest verse I got for you. Ain't that something? What was the Lord like as a child? You got very little you can see in the Bible about it. But he says, I knew you from the get-go. He trusted in the Lord that he would deliver. Where was I? Verse 10. I was cast on thee. Verse 11. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there's none to help. You know where he went to that cross? You know who went with him to that cross? He went there alone. Look at verse 12. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouth as a ravening and a roaring lion. Satan walketh about as a roaring lion, thinking whom he may devour. I'm poured out like water. What came out? Water and blood. And all my bones are out of joint. They're not broken. Not a bone of him would be broken. But he said they're all ripped out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. That's Gentiles. That's back to men. Those bulls of Bashan are devils. That lion's the devil. The dogs are Gentiles. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Folks, that's Jesus Christ. I may tell all my bones. I can count them. I can see them. I'm so shredded by that cat of nine tails. And interestingly enough, what did they put on his head? A crown of what? Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth. That was the curse of the world. Whole creation groaneth. He's the savior of the whole shebang. He and Lucifer were doing battle over kingdom. Over who's going to run the show. And Lucifer took out the first Adam. But when the second Adam came along, he didn't see this thing coming. Because he thought he had the victory right here. Hell was rejoicing on this day, folks. Those devils, that devil, those principalities and powers, those princes we'll see in just a couple of minutes, man, they were having them a party. They didn't see that resurrection coming. They didn't see the way that he could bring a dirt ball that had walked away from him, like you and I, back into fellowship with him. They didn't see it, they didn't see it, they didn't see it. The wisdom of God so far exceeded the wisdom of Lucifer, he could not even guess it. Verse 18, they part my garments among them and cast lots for my vesture. He's prophesying hundreds and hundreds of years before it happens that they're not even going to rip my clothes. Before it even happens, he puts it his word and prophesies it of his own death. That's power. But be not far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. I will, in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye seed of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all ye seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto the people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Then you got Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? Maketh me to lie down in green pastures, leadeth me beside the still waters, restoreth my soul. You know the whole chapter. Jesus Christ says that he is the good. Hidden in there is you and I. Look at chapter 24. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Well, how do you compare that to Satan as the god of this world? You know what that thing's prophesying of? That's the second advent when Jesus Christ sets up his kingdom on this earth. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. There it is again. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, with not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Well, that ain't your plan of salvation. That's when the king is reigning on the earth and babies are being born and a child's 100 years old. And children are playing on the cockatrice dens and scratching the ears of the lions and saying, hey, kitty, kitty. There's a different salvation right there. That's not you. Clean hands and a pure heart's going to get you into heaven. What are you on, crack? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but babies that are born in the millennium. Salvation's by grace through faith in all dispensations. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Babies are born in the millennial kingdom and they go and they look at the Lord. Have fun. Verse 5, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. That is, this is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. You know what it's talking about? It's talking about a battle, an epic battle, where God sent his son into the vineyard, and they said, let's get rid of the son. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me show you some stuff here real quick. I'm going to move fast, all right? Because I got to get you out of here in just a few minutes. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's a new Bible, man. These things all stick together. Look at verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Okay. Even the hidden wisdom. Let me ask you a question. Why do people act like the Bible is just so easy? Why do they act like they know everything about the Bible all the time? I'll bet you I don't know a fifth of this thing. Of what's actually here. That's probably pretty generous. Which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Look at verse 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Well, who are the princes? Well, yeah, that could be Pilate. Could be Herod. But every time you see the word princes of this world, it's not always talking about, sometimes it's that word principality. There is a spirit world and there is a human world. And there has been a battle over the human world in the spirit world, the forces of good versus the forces of evil. And the battle is over your soul. You understand that? If you're not saved, talk to me before you leave, please. please. I don't, when you come in my office, I don't pound on the pulpit. Foam doesn't come out of my mouth. I don't sweat. I'm not nervous. I know the difference between preaching and when I'm in a pastor situation. I hope that you know that. I'll never forget somebody came to me, "Pastor, I really want you to do this funeral, but your style, and it's a funeral, and I know that you like to yell and pound the pulpit," and I was like, "Oh my gosh." I appreciate that, first of all, because they did not want to tell me how to preach. They weren't trying to be that way. I was like, "I don't do funerals like I preach in my church and my own pulpit." And when somebody comes to me and says, "I want to talk about my soul, I need help, I need counseling," I don't go at it like I preach. You understand that? The devil wants your soul. You kids, the devil wants your soul. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. Once you're saved, he can't have your soul. But he can present himself before the Lord. And I'll give you more on that in the future, okay? There's a lot more to say on that. I'll give you that when we come to it. But he can present himself before the Lord and say, "Would you just give me everything he's got? Would you just let me at him? Would you just let me wreck his life?" Now, you ain't Job. We already dealt with that. He was a perfect and upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. If you think you're Job, you're probably the person in the room who's the farthest from Job.
Yeah.
Are we having fun? If you think you're Job, our smokers, we help people. Not everybody in church always has it all together. Our people who are still trying to get cleaned up might be closer to Job than you are.
Yeah. Hello. Good preaching.
Pride was what was wasn't that there at the beginning before dope?
Yeah.
Nauseates the fire out of me, man. Verse 9, "But as it is written, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him?" I've covered that already. "Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." You know what he's saying? There's a spirit world going on. I find it real interesting that right in that verse 8, just set right in there, is a verse that we always take as it is literal, but that thing might have been literal in the spirit world. Just a suggestion. But they didn't know what they were doing. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Look down at verse number 6. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." That's it. You want to be safe from the attack of the devil? The way you received him, walk in him. You backslide and fall away when you get too big for your britches.
Yep.
How'd you get to Jesus? On your knees begging for help, hoping he'd hear you.
Yeah.
By faith. Because you said you would, I know you will. And then we think, "Well, I tithe and I this and I that, so God's going to bless me." Really? "As you received him," that's how you walk in him, "rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Verse 8, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Now 1 minute. He said, beware about philosophy and vain deceit. Why? Well, because there's an adversary out there and he's going to use philosophy and vain deceit. And how? "Ye shall be as gods, knowing." He's going to want to appeal to your intellect. "After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, she saw that the tree was good for food, was pleasant to the eyes, desired to make one wise." What was it? Well, that was the original worldliness. It all boiled down to simple disobedience of Jesus Christ, what he had said, what God had told her. So
The devil want to get your eyes on man's wisdom, on intellect, on constant circular reasoning, on philosophizing and theorizing, and, well, if there was a God, and if God was just, and if God was loving, then why would he? And you start getting a little high and a little lofty, and what you're doing is you're walking right into the trap of Lucifer. It's away from the simplicity that's in Christ. We are supposed to be the children of God, like a child. Just pleasing the Lord, just go to work tomorrow, just enjoy your family, take your dog for a walk, do right, ask God to forgive you when you mess up, and just be a child. Don't get all into all that stuff. I mean, in 12 years, how many times have you guys gotten a lesson from me on the sons of God and the daughters of men? You know why? Because your flesh will love this stuff. And there's a time and a place for it in the growth process of the church, but this is not, we're just teaching through Job. This is not what this ministry is all about. The Bilderbergers and the Masons and the... I don't go get a life. Why? Because I don't care. I don't care. You think there's a conspiracy? Yeah, man, a huge one. Huge. It's been going on for 6,000 years plus. I want to walk with the Lord. I want to stay safe. I want to stay clean. I want to love my wife, love my kids, love my church. Follow God. One day at a time. Don't get all wrapped up in all that stuff. The devil will mess your head up faster than you think he can. Verse 10, you're complete in him, which is the head of what? You're complete in him, which is the head of all. Ain't that weird? That's a weird verse, man. The devil comes up there, well, what you been doing? Going to and fro in the earth? Yeah, I know you're the God of that thing. Yeah, I know, but you got some people down there you don't let me at. Okay. You know who's going to crush those principalities and powers?
Come on.
He's the head of them. In whom also ye are all circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, a lesson for another day, buried with him in baptism. There it is. There's that water. No, it ain't. No water there. It's your salvation. Wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, with raised him from the dead. That whole thing's talking about a spiritual deal. You weren't circumcised physically for salvation. Neither were you baptized physically for salvation. Verse 13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Watch it. And having spoiled principalities and powers. Well, back in verse 10, he's the head of them all. He whooped them. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. How about that? You know what he did on the cross? He whooped the snot out of principalities and powers. Let's keep going. Look down at verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the bodies of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward, watch it, in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. Everybody sees the word angel, and you know what they think of? Just a holy angel. Not every time you see the word angel does it mean a holy angel. Why are you assuming that's a holy angel? And what holy angel would let you worship him? Intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind. There it is. That's that IQ. I'm really smart. Okay, get out of here. Amen. It just aggravates me. Guys my age, you know, 35, 40-year-old guys, you know, 45-year-old guys walking around wanting to be the next Dr. Ruckman. You ain't Dr. Ruckman. You don't have a chance. Not, you don't have a prayer. You don't have the chance of a snowball in hell. Just be yourself and let God do whatever he wants to do with you. Thank God for him, but you pulling his name on me, like, you know, that doesn't mean anything to me. Name-dropping junk, man. That's just a bunch of foolishness, folks. That's vainly puffed up in the fleshly mind. And I love him and appreciate him and appreciate everybody that's in good fellowship and believes the right doctrine and all that stuff, but I'm just talking about that arrogant stuff. Not holding the head, not your own. The Lord's. That's the capital H. That's a proper name for Jesus Christ.
from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered, knit together, increases with the increase of God. The problem with us is headiness and high-mindedness, vainly puffed up in the fleshly mind. The devil's going to go after your mind and your IQ and your ability and your Bible knowledge and everything else to puff you up and get you away from the Lord. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why as though living in the world are you subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are perished with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Got a load of that even among Bible-believing Christians nowadays. They'll preach their doctrine, their standards, their this, their that, and their the other thing, as though it was Holy Bible. If you got a conviction, more power to you. But don't run around preaching that like it's God's word. When it ain't God's word, you're adding to the Bible. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility, nauseating, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. You mean I can neglect my body? I can fast, I can wear certain garments, I can do all these things, and it's actually a demonic thing? Absolutely. Absolutely. Makes you feel spiritual, feel religious, feel closer to God when you're nothing of the kind. It's very supernatural. All right, go to Hebrews chapter 1. So there was angels over there being worshipped. Watch Hebrews chapter 1. Almost done. I say that within the hour. Hebrews chapter 1, look at verse 14. Verse 13, I'm sorry. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Now watch verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? All I want you to see right there is the angels of God are ministering spirits. Okay? So those are the right ones from what I can tell. Those are the right angels. But go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse 12. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. There's a weird word there, transforming themselves. Watch it. And no marvel. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. You know what Satan does? He transforms himself into an angel of light. Religion, love, peace, unity. Charity. He ain't going to come at you saying, "Hi, I'm Lucifer. Come with me, I'm going to wreck your life." If Satan walked up to you, you would say that was the nicest, kindest, sweetest, greatest hearted guy I ever met in my life. You know, his ministers do not talk like Elijah or John the Baptist or Jesus Christ. His ministers don't come straight at you with truth and call you names and call you out and pressure you. That ain't no way, man. He's smarter than all that. He knows your nature. He's going to give you a great show, man. A sweet little talk that's going to let you leave there feeling better about yourself. Oh boy, you're going to leave there just all excited, just all encouraged. I'm just so happy. The music was so great. And he ain't going to ruffle your feathers. Go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Satan has a silver tongue, folks. You girls need that. You girls need to get a hold of that. I know your daddy's a grouch and a jerk and all that stuff, and he wants to fight everybody that walks. Oh, now I'm talking about myself. Wait a minute. I know your daddy wants to beat every boy up, but I'm telling you something. If that boy's got evil intentions, I guarantee you one thing. His evil intentions are going to come across. He's going to come across like a sweetheart boy. Satan has a silver tongue. All right, so some predator come across, you know, I get to hold them kids. Being sweet. And God put inside them a little instinct that goes that something's wrong. Pay attention to that instinct. I'm not supposed to be rude to adults. If they creep you out, you are. Matthew 25, look at verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the... and what? Devil and his angels? Not all angels are holy. But you say angels, people think holy. You know what hell is prepared for? It wasn't prepared for you. God never intended men to go there. He prepared that thing for Satan and his angels. You don't become a son of God. You be a child of the devil, a child of disobedience. You disobey the gospel. You know where you go? Somewhere God never intended you to go. How could a loving, holy God... There you go philosophizing again, thinking you know more than you know. How could a holy, loving God do that? God didn't do that. The devil did that. And he loves it when you sit back and blame it on God. Now we're seeing in Job, and we're about done tonight, but we're seeing in Job that they work so closely together, sometimes you can't tell the difference between the two. And I'm showing you that the devil will work so tricky in your life that you'll think it's God. You realize the devil has the power to give you power? To give you money? To give you wealth? You know what else God said to Israel? I have the power. Don't forget who has the power to give you. God has the power to give you wealth as well. Uh-oh. You know who has the power to break your back? God. You know who else does? The devil. Bible's a little deeper than people give it credit for. Go to Jude, please. Go to Jude. And then we'll go to Psalm 2. Psalm 82, excuse me. Jude, look at verse 6. I got to rush. Jude 6. Now watch this. And this whole thing, we could read this whole chapter and comment. There's so much in this chapter, but I'm just going to show you verse 6. And the angels... which kept not their first estate. Angels. What happened? They were in a particular estate when God created them, a direct creation of God, therefore sons of God. When God created them, they had a particular estate that God had given them, a position, but left their own habitation. They were somewhere they were supposed to inhabit. They didn't want to stay there. What did he do with them? He hath reserved them in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. You're telling me some of the devils are bound already in everlasting darkness, chained up, waiting for the judgment? 100% absolutely. Well, then how is Jesus casting devils out of people? Not all the devils left their first estate. Some of them did. Go to Psalm 82. Two more. Well, Psalm, I want to take you over then to Genesis 6. Psalm 82. Now, here's a real interesting thing for you. If you divide 82 by 6, which is the number of man, you know what you come up with? 13.6666. Ain't that weird? Rebellion, a mark of the beast, and it's associated with man. That's a weird thing, man. But I don't base my doctrine on those kind of things, but I think they're fun to throw in on top. If you go after people with that as your argument, you are a lunatic, and they think you're a lunatic, and you are. There's a lot more to it than that. You got to get the facts down there and a good foundation down there, and then you tack on, you know, you put the ridge vent on last. And that stuff just seals the deal. That's great. But don't walk up and say, look at this. And, you know, they're going to be like, get out of here. And I would agree with them. Like, trust me, I've been out there, guys bring this stuff up, and then they run right to that kind of stuff. And I'm like, are you kidding me right now? Psalm 82:1. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. What? Ye shall be as what? God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. Oh, that's not you. That's not humans. Something real powerful out there. And he's judging them. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked, Selah? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Watch this. I have said ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High.
You see that verse? Now you're going to tell me the sons of God are all automatically the godly line of Seth. Watch it. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. They were gods. Ye shall be as gods. They were angels that left their first estate. And what God said is, okay, you're going to go down and transform yourselves into men and start procreating with the women. Then you go, when you take on the form of flesh, you don't come back. So those gods come down, they take on the form of flesh, they procreate with women. I've laid this out for you a long time, so I hope it's clicking right now. Procreation is science. And scientists can mess around with that stuff. And if scientists today can do it, why are you shocked that the devils were doing it in Genesis 6? And why do you have to correct the Bible? Why can't you just believe by faith that it is what it is and it says what it says and therefore God must be right? Nowadays we know what science can do, so it shouldn't shock anybody that devils were doing it a long time ago. Genesis chapter 6 and we're done. Verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men. There's no line in there. God's saying, men began to multiply. Daughters are born to men. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men. Jude verse 6. That they were fair. And took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. He also is flesh. Oh, something else is there. That became flesh. His days should be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. Something genetically happened. When the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men. God standeth in the congregation of the... and said, you're gods, but ye shall die like. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. It repented the Lord. He made the man. It grieved him. And God goes on, and you know the story. God drowns it out the second time. Associated with some kind of a rebellion of devils and wanting to leave the estate God put them in, not happy with where God placed them, wanting something different. And that's why he promised to Noah, I will never again destroy the world with water. Noah was probably freaking out about that thing because this is the second time God did it. They knew God had already done it before. The next time it's by fire. You know what the moral of the story is? Be happy where God put you. Be happy where God put you. And don't get out of where God put you. Because God will develop you there, walk with you there, minister to you there, help you there. Be thankful for what you got. Your wife, your kids, your income, your house, your car, your. Be thankful, be thankful, be thankful. Because when you feel like you deserve more, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Let's dismiss in a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you so much for writing this book. Give us understanding in these things, we pray. And help us, Father, as we wrestle against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. They hate this ministry. They hate this book. They hate our Savior. They hate us. They hate our assembly. God, protect us. Hold us together. Guide us. Help us to focus on the head, Jesus Christ, and growing in Him. Bless these people for being here and for putting up with a long service tonight, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for being here, guys. You're dismissed.